Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Timothy 1, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to talk about death tonight. We're going to talk about the last enemy of life, we'll say it. And in 2 Timothy 1:8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." And here it is. "Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would like to read verses 12 through 22. We're going to make some reference here tonight. And Paul says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The last enemy of life, death. You know, different people talk about death in different ways. There are different attitudes about death. Someone asked some children some questions about death and heaven. And Alan, age 7, says, "God doesn't tell you when you're going to die because he wants it to be a big surprise." Aaron, age 8, says the hospital is where people go on their way to heaven. Raymond, age 10, says a good doctor can help you so you won't die. A bad doctor sends you to heaven. Kevin, age 10, he's courageous. He says, "I'm not afraid to die because I'm a Boy Scout." Ralph, age 8, "When birds are ready to die, they just fly to heaven." Stephanie, age 9, "Doctors help you so you won't die until you pay all their bills." And Marcia, age 9, says, "When you die, you don't have to do homework in heaven unless your teacher is there also." People, you know, I think in a lot of cases we should be a little more lighthearted about that as children, but you know, there's the doom of death that you hear in the way a lot of people talk about it. I mean, death is the last enemy. Death is a terror to so many people. It's lurking around every moment of happiness. It's the nightmare of all of one's dreams. It invades upon one's hopes. In one way of talking about it, look, it's inescapable. It's going to cross all of our paths. Sooner or later, the grave is coming. But we might not just consider the doom of death, but how about the dashing of death? Because where sometimes death happens kind of slowly, a lot of times it's very sudden. It comes about real quickly, like a thief in the night. Either way, it's approaching. God's Word tells us about that. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Our earthly day is going to end, and it's going to end sometime soon. I mean, the weeks fly by, the years, they just roll on. We are quickly approaching eternity. Here we are in this life. It is a very short life. And then beyond this life, I mean, it's forever. So it's absurd to live with a focus and a passion for this earth only and being here. Everyone lives here for a while, but the soul is going to live eternally somewhere. And so the focus on this life, so much of it, you know, Jesus describes a man who was building barns and his earthly accumulation. He needed a place to put his stuff, his temporary things of life, and he forgot about his own soul. He's so busy in the present life that he forgets about the afterlife. Friends, that's a foolish pattern to follow. I heard of an uncle I had. I came along so late with my parents that I didn't get to meet a lot of people in the family. My brother, 12 years older than me, got to meet. And so I heard about my Uncle Norman. I've never even seen a picture of him, but I heard I had an Uncle Norman. The first thing comes in my mind about Uncle Norman, he was real smart, supposedly, and pretty quick-witted. And unfortunately, I have some extended family in Mormonism, and they tried to rope him into it. And he said, I just can't do that. And they said, why not? He said, well, they would call me Norman the Mormon if I did. That's the main thing that comes to my mind about this Uncle Norman I didn't know. But there's another thing. He had his own used car lot business. And they said he was the brains of the siblings. They said my dad was the meat and the potatoes guy, and that Norman had all the brains. And I tell you, he could sell a car for a huge profit, but I'm afraid from things I've heard that he sold his soul for about nothing and didn't prepare for eternity. Man, insurance is such a big business today. People get insurance on temporary things that perish, but there's so many people out there who do not get assurance on what's eternal. You know, there are constant appointments that are being kept. My phone is full of them. One preacher said, my life is in this phone. And I said, I'll never do that. Well, I have a calendar on my phone just full of appointments. And appointments are kept up with. But the appointment with death is so foolishly put off by so many. It's a fool's game to live unprepared to die, unprepared to meet God, especially when we consider what God has done concerning death for us. Look, we've talked a little bit about the doom of death and in the flesh and the worldly thoughts of it. There's a doom of death. It's dark. There's the dashing of death. It's approaching very quickly. It's uncertain. We don't know when. But hey, there's the defeat of death. In verse 10, it speaks of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a glorious light there is that has shined through the darkness of the dreary scene of death. Jesus has taken away the power of death by His resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has set us free from the bondage of sin and the grave of hell. He has put the spotlight on what has been done for us in the Word of God. There are things for us to know about this, and it takes the gloom and it takes the doom away. He has turned the light on to life and immortality. The defeat of death has been provided for us by way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said we're going to talk about death tonight. We're going to talk a lot about resurrection tonight. And in thinking back, I don't know if I have ever talked about the resurrection any time other than Easter Sunday. But it's in season all the time. I mean, Jesus lives eternally, and He was raised for us. That's a good subject for us to always talk about. He has defeated death. What has resurrection brought you and I? What if Jesus had not been resurrected? How would things be? Well, as we consider resurrection for a minute tonight, let's just consider the fact that our faith is in it. I'm so thankful to be saved. I spoke with someone after church this morning, and the conversation got real deep, and it just moved my heart to make me so thankful that the Lord has saved my soul. And His resurrection, look, my faith is in it. And the believer in Christ believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many people believe in a dead God, and they're trying to give CPR to a dead religion that has never been alive. But we believe in a living, resurrected Lord. Our faith hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the chief cornerstone of the gospel. If there was just the death of Jesus, and there was just the burial of Jesus, and it stops there, then we have no reason to be here tonight. If that were to be the case, then anything I would be saying would just be babble, and it would just be murmuring. We would have nothing to be excited about. There would be no hope after the grave if there were no resurrection, but only the death and burial. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 20, though, says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." Amen. I believe. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that your Lord is a resurrected Lord and He lives forever? The tomb is empty. And besides the nonsense people try to talk about, look, for the tomb being empty, that silences the skeptic and it silences the unbelief. The weakest arguments have been made for an empty tomb. It causes the critics to be powerless that Jesus Christ has resurrected and the tomb is barren. Our faith is in a risen Lord, and death has been defeated. If He weren't risen, then there's no power in any preaching. We would all be here deceived tonight if Christ hadn't been risen. But there is power in the preaching. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, and ears that hear it, people that have ears to hear it, are made glad by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Christian's faith is in a resurrected, glorious Savior. But not only is our faith in it, but we have forgiveness from it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ confirms our forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." If Christ be not raised, then we are in our sins. Christ has been raised, so we are no longer in our sins in the sense of the penalty of sin. It has been paid for. We have had a glorious substitution by Jesus Christ, and our sins have been completely covered in full. We have been reconciled to God. We've been reconciled to God by what Christ has done, but also by who he is in his person. I had the opportunity to witness to someone one time, and they said, I just don't buy it that I need to believe in this person and I need to say his name in order to be able to be right with God and go to heaven one day. And I said, well, don't just think about the person. Don't just think about his name, but think about what he did. And what he did was take our place and died for our sins. And the fact that he's resurrected is satisfaction to God for the sacrifice that he made for all of us. There's such a great value in what Jesus did on the cross because of who he is. He's the perfect Son of God who first satisfied the righteousness of God before satisfying the justice of God. But he did those things for you and I. And if you think about it, we think about the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about his life. He lived a perfect life for us. If it weren't for the life that Jesus lived, we wouldn't be able to be saved. As a matter of fact, a verse hits my mind. I'm gonna turn there, and it is Romans chapter. It's all pinned up, but it's worth going here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. I know the address, and what it says is, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He lived a perfect life in our place. He died and satisfied the justice of God because the penalty of sin is death. God appointed the penalty, and God takes no shortcuts. Everybody says God can do whatever he wants. God has to do what is right. God has to do according to what he has said, according to his word. And so the penalty of sin was paid for by Jesus Christ. He resurrected, and God is satisfied. Romans 1:4, speaking of who he is who died on the cross, it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. What took place on the cross wasn't just the killing of Jesus, but the divine work of deity. 2 Corinthians 5:19 speaks of the work of Christ on this earth. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our sins have been paid for on the cross. The believer in Jesus Christ has been forgiven, and pardon has been given, peace has been given, and those things are for sure. The resurrection has assured us of forgiveness from God. And as we gaze at this glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, we might not just consider how our faith is in it or our forgiveness from it. How about forever by way of it? Forever by way of the resurrection. Our dreams of no death are a reality in a sense. Our bodies are going to stop functioning one day. I mean, that's unalterable. That's certain. I mean, our days are numbered in that sense. Job 14:5 says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. The light's going to go out one day on this earth, but the life's not going to go out. The life is eternal in Jesus Christ by his resurrection. We have the hope in us of the immortality of the soul. There is forever for us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a part of us that's going to end, and that's the flesh, and that's this earthly tabernacle that we are in. But the most important part of us is going to live for eternity only because Christ has been raised from the dead. And if he had not been raised from the dead, then death would have gotten the victory. Then death would be all doom and gloom for us. It would be a terror to you and I. We would be in our sins, and they also which have fallen asleep would perish, and we would never see them again who have died if there be no resurrection. That's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians 15, 18 tells us that we would be in our sins, and they all which fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But the deathless hope that a man has, Jesus didn't do it because of our hope, but our desire, but that is the desire of man, to be able to live forever. And that has been fulfilled by Jesus. Death has been defeated. And we consider the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that proof. We know that death has been defeated. It's not eternal void beyond the sunset, because Jesus went beyond the sunset and he came back to announce what's beyond the grave. The song says there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. The by and by is sweet for us because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One preacher was walking through the cemetery, and he was walking down the path, and he seemed to be in such deep thought, and his preacher friend caught up with him and kind of startled him. He looked up at him and looked back where he had been in such deep thought, and he said, "They're going to bring me out here one day, and they're going to give me a piece of ground. They're going to lay me in it. But God knows that I won't stay there. I'm going to be running errands for God in heaven. We're going to be worshiping Him is what we're going to be doing. But I understand Him." John 11:25, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means for the Christian concerning death. Most of you have probably heard of a very popular preacher from long ago, D.L. Moody. And he says on this subject, "Some morning you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am right now." He goes on to say, "I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which was born of the flesh may die, but that which was born of the spirit shall live forever." Look, this immortality we have, it's not an argument. It's not something for us to debate with. It's not something for us to try to twist someone's arm to believe. Look, the believer in Christ ought to be too busy praising the Lord for the immortality we have, the eternal life that we have forever because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sun is going to set here one day. It is going to become night. But then there's going to be the brilliance of the glory of the Lord when we get to heaven. By the way, the only reason why heaven is so great is because Jesus is there. There are no light fixtures in heaven. You're not going to find a light switch there because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His brilliance and His glory. He lights up all of heaven, and heaven is rich, and heaven is what we long for because Jesus Jesus is there. And we're going to be there one day because of Him. No need for any help with the lighting because Jesus lights heaven up. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has given us light and has given us life. And so we look at this tonight and we consider that death is coming. We look to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we might just be thinking about how our faith is in it. Can we rejoice in that tonight? Is anyone tempted to be discouraged? Is anyone tempted to have their focus on the wrong things and kind of get lost in some cares of this world or the pettiness of something going on versus considering the fact that our faith is in our resurrected Lord. He is our living Lord, and we are going to be with Him for eternity. Our faith is in it. Our forgiveness is from it. It's stamped by the resurrection. I accept what my Son did, as God would say, by sacrificing Himself in your place and in my place, and I'm going to show you by raising Him up. There is victory over death, hell, and the grave. How about our forever? Our forever by way of the resurrection. As Christians rejoice in the last enemy, it's already been defeated. It's death. I'd like to start closing by asking tonight, is there anyone here who's unprepared to die? You know, that's a serious question. It's a serious moment because that could come at any time. And we don't know. We just kind of think we have an idea of and control of that. We have no idea. Is there anyone here who's unprepared to die? Unprepared to meet God. There's an uncertainty in a heart some way, somewhere, when that question is asked. Maybe there's an uncertainty in a heart tonight. And thank God for the uneasiness that goes on in the heart when that question is asked. Are you prepared to die? You know, when we go door knocking, you know, there's different ways we kind of approach different people, and it's not about a method, it's about the message of the gospel. And I kind of like Seth's way. He gets right down to business, right there on the doorstep, and they don't run away. You know, God uses us in ways and able to share the gospel, and He gets to the most important part and the most important question. And that's a good one right there. Are we prepared to meet God? Thank God for that conviction, that uncertainty in our hearts. What questions have we had to ask? You know, my mother ended up being saved as a result of a question that she asked that no Christian would have to ask. And that right there sent an uneasiness into her heart, and it was within 2 hours later that she was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that uneasiness. Maybe someone under the sound of my voice tonight is not ready. Is not ready. Well, and you know, it could be a guest who's never been here before. It could be someone in the church. That's happened before. And so the thought comes to someone's mind, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Here I am convicted, and I know I need to be saved. The people think I've been saved. I've been doing this and doing that, and I have never truly believed. I am not prepared to die. Hey, the good news about that tonight is that you can take the sweetest, wisest step of your life and make the most important decision that you've ever made, and God is drawing you to do it, and God has supplied everything you need through His Son in order to be saved. The Bible says, "Ye shall be in no wise cast out." Are you prepared to die? Have your sins been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? You can trust Him tonight if you have never. And I'm going to turn to John chapter 6 and verses 35 through 40 to close with some words of Jesus. And it says in John 6:35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." There's the subject of death, but then it's qualified for the Christian by the subject of resurrection. There is eternal life for the one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're just going to shed this old body like an old snakeskin, and we're going to go to be with the Lord. And when he comes back to the clouds, that burial ground, that cemetery, it's going to be a resurrection ground for believers. And that glorified body is going to be raised out of that grave. And the spiritual form that we take on when we come back to the clouds with Jesus, we're going to be in that glorified body and to go to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Bible says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Death has been defeated for the child of God. And where we as a church may have some sorrow today over the temporary absence of Carolyn, I mean, it's easy to miss her already. She's so full of personality. She was so ready to go be with her Lord. I mean, the joy was overwhelming. It happened one other time for me. I don't know if I've ever shed a tear over Big Bob. Big Bob led me to the Lord, but he was so excited to go be with Jesus. I love that testimony. And Carolyn herself had the same testimony, and every single one of us in Jesus Christ can and should. Death has been defeated. We're not scared out of it anymore. The Bible says it's lost its sting for the child of God. Amen. If you don't have that experience, and if you don't have that assurance and promise in your life, we pray that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We're about to have a time of invitation. And this is a time for you to do business with God. Maybe you just want to rejoice tonight. You know, Peter shared the Word of God over and over. He brought to remembrance the Scriptures. He didn't preach some new gospel. And maybe you just want to rejoice tonight that Jesus has been resurrected and that you have eternal life and death has been defeated in your life. Or maybe you're going to rejoice in it for the first time. Maybe the weight of sin is upon you. You're in guilt. You don't have that certainty. You're not prepared to meet your God. Be saved tonight. Let us bow to the Lord in prayer.